Canto 1, Krishna appears. This 12th part is called Additional Notes for Chapter 2, taken from purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa, and so they were eagerly awaiting Krishna's appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display His childhood pastimes, and Akura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Paryupasate is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmana, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kamsa had taken birth as Kalanemi, and so now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. One may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Shadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Shadgarbha asuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And so the following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, Krishna does not do so. And this is explained by Krishna Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarva bhutani nachahang tej vavastata nacha matstani bhutani pashame yogam aishvaram bhutta brin nacha bhutta sto mamatma bhuta bhavana. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, still myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and Krishna is not everywhere. Everything rests upon Krishna, and yet does not rest upon Krishna. This can be explained only through the Achintya Veda Veda philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yash chasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. So even though Krishna cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of the Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world, and yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, one is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes one's material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, just as the Shadgarbha asuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, one's real position of bhakti is thus manifested, and he or she naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the 6 sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, then within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the 7th pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his or her natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The word Ansha Bhagina is important. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Atava Bahunaitena King Yatena Tavarjuna Vishtabhyaham Idang Kritsnam Ekangshena Sthito Jagat. O Arjuna, but what need is there for all this detailed knowledge? For with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Everything is situated as a part of the Supreme Lord's potency. In regard to Lord Krishna's appearance in the womb of Devaki, Brahma played a part also because on the bank of the milk ocean, Lord Brahma requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. A part was also played by Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead. Similarly, Yogamaya, who appeared as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, also played a part. Thus, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Shakti Tattva are all integrated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna appears, Krishna appears with all his integrated parts. As explained previously, Yogamaya was requested to attract Sankarshan Baladev from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And this was indeed a very heavy task for her. Yogamaya naturally could not see how it was possible for her to attract Sankarshan. Therefore, Krishna addressed her as Shubhe, auspicious. And then he said, "Be blessed. Take power from me, and you will be able to do it." And so, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can do anything, for Krishna is present in everything, all things being Krishna's parts and parcels, Ansha Bhagina, and increasing or decreasing by Krishna's supreme will. Balaram was only 15 days older than Krishna. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Yashoda. And by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. Krishna, however, although not actually born from the womb of Mother Yashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Yashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. Yashoda means one who gives fame. After receiving the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya twice confirmed her acceptance by saying, "Yes, sir, I shall do as you order." Om. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Om signifies Vedic confirmation. Thus, Yogamaya very faithfully received Krishna's order as a Vedic injunction. It is a fact that whatever is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a Vedic injunction that no one should neglect. In Vedic injunctions, there are no mistakes, illusions, cheating, or imperfection. Unless one understands the authority of the Vedic version, there is no purpose in quoting Shastra. No one should violate the Vedic injunctions. Rather, one should strictly execute the orders given in the Vedas, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, "Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastatau gyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharhasi." One should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one may gradually be elevated. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the seventh month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in Hari Vansha. At midnight, while Rohini was deeply sleeping, she experienced as if in a dream that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, she awoke and she saw that this had indeed happened. She was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarsana." Acharya Sri Veera Raghava says that the Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudeva was a heart-to-heart relationship. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Vaishnava Toshani Tika, he says that one who lives in the bodily concept, thinking, "I am this body," involves oneself by the very nature of this conception in a life of sinful activities. Anyone living in such a conception is to be considered a candidate for hell. Adanta Govir Vishatam Tamisrang Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. One who is in a bodily concept of life has no control over sense gratification. Such a person can do anything sinful: to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy a life of sense gratification, not knowing of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Such a person does whatever one likes, whatever he or she imagines, and therefore, being subject to the laws of nature, has to suffer miserably again and again in different material bodies. Yavat kriyastavad idang manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. In the bodily concept of life, a person is karmanu bandha, or conditioned by karma. And as long as the mind is absorbed in karma, one must accept a material body. Sharira bandha, bondage to the material body, is a source of misery, kleshada. Nasadu manye yata atmano yam asan api kleshada asa deha. Although the body is temporary, it always gives trouble in many ways. But human civilization is now, unfortunately, based on tanumani, the bodily concept of life, by which one thinks, "I belong to this nation. I belong to this group. I belong to that group," and so on. Each of us has one's own ideas, and we are becoming increasingly involved individually, socially, communally, and nationally in the complexities of karmanubandha, sinful activities. For the maintenance of the body, men are killing so many other bodies and becoming implicated in karmanubandha. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says that tanumani, those in the bodily concept of life, are papi, sinful persons. For such sinful persons, the ultimate destination is the darkest region of hellish life, gandha tamo annam. In particular, a person who wants to maintain one's body by killing animals is most sinful and cannot understand the value of spiritual life. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tanahang dvishatakuran sangsareshu naradaman shipyam yajasram ashuban asuri shveva yonishu asurin yonam apana mudha janmani janmani mam aprapyai vakaunteya tato yakya dmangatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life, attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life. Such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. A human being is meant to understand the value of human life, which is a boon obtained after many, many births. Therefore, one must free oneself from tanumani, the bodily concept of life, and realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Kamsa was always absorbed in thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kamsa was not happy. A devotee, however, whether sitting on a throne or beneath a tree, is always happy. Srila Sanatan Goswami, in his Toshani, says that Narada Muni and the demigods were accompanied by other saintly persons like Sanaka and Sanatan, all of whom came to congratulate or welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though Kamsa was planning to kill Devaki, Kamsa also awaited the arrival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything everywhere is performed in terms of three principles: jnana, bala, kriya, knowledge, strength, and activity. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is never successful. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these three principles: jnana, knowledge; bala, strength; kriya, activity. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth, yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the origin of all incarnations. As indicated by the word dvikaga, the living elements within the body resemble two birds in a tree. Ka means sky, and ga means one who flies. Thus the word dvikaga refers to birds. In the tree of the body, there are two birds, or two living elements, and they are always different. Various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are supposed to be the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. But actually, they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested in varieties of energy. Ekam eva dvitiyam brahma. There is no second existence. Krishna is described as ambujaksha, or lotus-eyed, by seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers. One becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his or her eyes to anything else. Simply by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, a devotee is at once fully absorbed in Krishna within his or her heart. This absorption is called samadhi. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word aravindaksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. The word Madhava is significant. Ma, Mother Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help one. The opulences of a devotee are not a result of karma kanda vichara. A devotee is always protected by all of the Supreme Lord's opulences, of which no one can deprive a devotee. Thus, a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee, therefore, should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured of protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy, although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet. Similarly, because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they actually see Krishna's activities, either through authority or through history. The Puranas are old, authentic histories, but non-devotees cannot understand them, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge. Non-devotees cannot understand even the preliminary study of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. They simply speculate and present commentaries with absurd distortions. When there is a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it in many ways because Krishna has multivarious energies. There is no need for Krishna to come as an incarnation, since Krishna is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. The living entities come to this material world in a spirit of enjoyment, but because they want to enjoy without Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukha Haya Bhoja Vanchakare, they suffer birth, death, old age, and disease under the control of the illusory energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. Krishna's descent is an act of Krishna's pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between Krishna and the ordinary living entity and not uselessly argue that Krishna cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation and who ask, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should Krishna not come? Why should Krishna be controlled by the desire of the living entity? Krishna is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, it is only for his own pleasure that Krishna comes, although Krishna does not need to come. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma phala by Krishna's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, one is again situated in his or her original liberated state. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the very reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at Krishna's lotus feet. This shelter is described as Abhay, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, And since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also are not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, but we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and forgetful of our position as Krishna's eternal servants. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Dasa. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of Krishna, always glorifying Krishna, and always chanting about Krishna, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods, therefore, encourage Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was already within Devaki's womb. Adyapiha Chaitanya e Shabha Leela Kare Jara Bhagye Thake Se Dekhaye Nirantare. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously like the waves of a river or an ocean. There is no limit to Krishna's incarnations, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. The word Kukshi Gataha, meaning within the womb of Devaki, has been discussed by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary. Since it was said at first that Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, how is it that Krishna was now in the womb? Goswamiji replies that there is no contradiction. From the heart, Krishna can go to the womb, or from the womb, Krishna can go to the heart. Indeed, Krishna can go and stay anywhere, as confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Vajami. So, Krishna can stay wherever he likes. Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of Devaki's former life, she now had the opportunity to seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nanandana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.